right, turning now to Proverbs chapter 8. Let's talk about how I got here. Why I thought, I believe that God is telling me what to preach this week. Let me recap where we've been the last several weeks just quickly, with some broad strokes. We've been talking out of the Gospel of John about the community of the Godhead. So we have the common unity, the triunity, the Trinity that we sang about earlier, the oneness that the Trinity, three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, experience within the Godhead. Okay? And then we talked about what Jesus referred to then as he proceeded through the Gospel of John. He talked, used the same language about our relationship with God. So then we talked about our community with the Godhead. Jesus said that in that day you'll understand that the Father is in me and I am in you and you are in me. And therefore, the way that Jesus spoke of seeing what the Father did, and that's what determined what Jesus would do. Jesus was continuously dependent, is, upon the Father. Jesus is continuously obedient to the Father. And so as we saw those dynamics and that nature of the relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit in the Godhead, then we again saw similar language. Jesus said, he who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. So we see this community happening and hearing God and the Holy Spirit hearing what the Father was saying to Jesus and then speaking it to us. So we're trying to function within that. Last week we looked at the primacy of God's word in the whole process, how God uses his word to accomplish his purposes. This week, as soon as I got to Monday, I didn't know yet what I was going to preach. I started doing my devotions. Monday, November 8th, where was I at? In Proverbs chapter 8. So as soon as I started reading it, the Holy Spirit, I believe, said to me, I want you to preach from Proverbs 8. And so here we are. And we're going to talk this morning about listening to wisdom. As always, I want to give you a fish. I want to give you a fish dinner. I want to feed you. That's what we're here to experience. But I also want to teach you how to fish so that when the 8th of December comes, you'll be in Proverbs 8, because the calendar I'm going to give all of you at Christmas again is going to give you a plan to read through the Bible. And there's for those of you who are new to it, there's a chapter of Proverbs for every day of the month. And it's just a good idea to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. And you're going to see why. So I want to teach you how to fish as well. Now, when you read Proverbs, maybe after our time spent in God's Word this morning, you'll be able to do it more effectively. It'll have more of an impact in your life. Okay? So let's go to chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? Now, wisdom and understanding, do you see in that verse, they are the same person. So here's something that will be helpful as you go through Proverbs. Understanding, knowledge, prudence, discretion, these are all words sometimes separated, and you're going to see a little later in this, sometimes they're like different things, but sometimes they're just piled on top of each other for emphasis. But most of the time, they're just synonymous. So sometimes I know teachers try to say, well, wisdom means this. Here's a definition of wisdom. Here's a definition of knowledge. I have not found that helpful for me. If you do, great. But I think they're all, in essence, synonymous terms. And this is why. When I was preaching in 1990, one of the first sermons I preached on that had to do with God's wisdom, I came up with this definition that has served me well, so I just offer it to you as food for thought. Here's a simple definition of wisdom if you want to jot it down, if you don't already know it. Wisdom, knowledge, discretion, prudence, understanding, all of those things that I think are synonymous in the book of Proverbs, all mean seeing things from God's perspective. I think that sums them all up. seeing things from God's perspective. We are going to spend the rest of our lives putting together a jigsaw puzzle. And Proverbs will help you put that puzzle together. How many of you like putting jigsaw puzzles together? Okay. I've never completed one. I did that one. I've completed one. I've never completed one with lots of pieces. I remember a few experiences. Do you ever have this experience, you puzzlers? It's like this whole section is blue sky. And then they're all blue. And they're all the same shape. And you're like, and you come to a spot and you're really getting tired and frustrated and you sort of push a little bit too hard and snap. It's over. And you're trying to make a piece fit where it doesn't fit. Listen, brothers and sisters. All of us are assembling a jigsaw puzzle all the time. We're all experiencing new things. We're all growing. As long as you're alive on this earth, you're going to be asking yourselves, where does this piece of the puzzle go? Or maybe you'll return to a spot and say, oh, I've put that section of the puzzle kind of together, so I kind of know what I'm supposed to do right now. And what the book of Proverbs is all about and what the Bible is really all about is helping us see things from God's perspective. And you've all done enough of shoving the pieces in and breaking off the chads or taking out a scissors and trying to make it fit. It doesn't work. And so, look at verse 1 again. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? Okay, look up above. Take a quick commercial break. Okay. Read it every day. And if I keep saying that and keep advertising it, maybe you'll do it a little more consistently. We're going to talk right now about three realities of wisdom. Does not wisdom call, and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out. Next Saturday night, the veterans banquet's going to happen. Kathy's going to sing. We got a lot of veterans here who are involved in planning it. And I know it's going to be in the Expo building. I can tell you right now, I know where the speaker's going to be. I know where Kathy's going to set up her equipment. It's going to be in the front. There's a place up front. They've elevated a little bit like here with a stage. This is why the pulpit's up here. Because I want to be heard. The speaker wants, Ed's going to speak, right? If you haven't gotten tickets yet, you still can. You want to be heard. So they're going to have you right up front. The lights are going to be the brightest. The microphones are going to all be set up there. That's what wisdom is doing here. On the top of the heights beside the way, where the paths, this is where people come. She takes her stand beside the gates at the opening to the city. This is where, at the entrance of the doors, this is where people are going to travel. She doesn't want to hide herself. She wants to do this out in the open. What is happening here? God wants you to understand. He wants us to understand where to put the pieces of the puzzle. He wants us to live according to His law. He wants us to be happy. He's got nothing to hide. Right? He's doing it openly. This is in contrast to, you're right there in chapter 7, go back to chapter 7, verse 9. This woman wisdom is in contrast to chapter 7's woman, the adulteress, the prostitute, who is a personification of more than that. She's a personification of evil. Look at chapter 7, verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. We sin in the dark. God wants to do all of this out in the open. This is a rhetorical question in verse 1. Go back to chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding lift up her voice? Look at the end of verse 3. At the entrance of the doors, she cries out. That's a rhetorical question. Does she call? What's the answer? Yes. Wisdom is calling. God is calling. Jesus is knocking. He's out there to be discovered, to be found. It's not a secret. Romans chapter 1. In His creation, He made it obvious what He's like. His invisible attributes are revealed in what He has made. He is calling. Wisdom is calling for you. You're making hard decisions. Some of you are making really tough decisions right now. I know. Wisdom is calling, saying, come to me. Now, that's a little bit opposite of our cancel culture, isn't it? Where does censorship come from? Does censorship work? Maybe for the devil. Where does that come from? Where is this notion of being so deceitful and so cowardly and so insecure? I'm not making a political statement. I'm saying this is the air we breathe as Americans right now. This is the culture that we live in. It's like, just don't let them. That's not how you come up with wisdom. You open the Bible, you let God tell you the truth, and then you talk about it openly. So that if you say something that's wise and I need to learn from that, I learn. And I might say something that you haven't even thought of. And we, together, get it out on the table. It never works to just hide from it or to bully everyone into saying nothing but accepting your storyline, right? So we as Christians, more than anyone, we're the ones that have to realize wisdom is right out in the open, calling all the time. And we'll see how that leads to some responsibility then on our part. So let's go to verse 4 then. Now look at the quotation marks at the beginning of verse 4. There's quotation marks now throughout until the end of the chapter. That means the rest of this is wisdom's call. This is the content of the call, the whole thing. Okay? Wisdom is calling, and in this call, to you, O men, look at verse 4, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. This is for human beings, all human beings, boys, girls, men and women. This is not for animals. This isn't for inanimate creation. This is for us. We're created in the image of God. We have rational minds. God is speaking to us. We're made in His image. Therefore, we're supposed to reflect His image in how we live. Okay? So wisdom, it is to you, O man, I call. And then look at verse 5 then. O naive ones, simple ones, literally. The picture, the personification of this is Goober and Gomer Pyle. I'm nothing against the actors. They do a great job. But their character is this. This is what simple means. I never learned anything more. He's saying, okay, listen, naive ones, discern prudence. Who's the book of Proverbs for? Hold your finger here, go back to chapter 1 just quickly. There is not one person in this room that this isn't for. There's not one person in this room, unless they can't read yet, that shouldn't be reading the book of Proverbs every single day of their life. Okay? And I know you'll miss days. Okay. And so there'll be months or seasons where you'll miss 5 days in a row. Then I'm not saying you absolutely have to go back and read 5 days. Where just make a check by it and say, I didn't read it this month, but next month I will. I'll get back to that one. And give yourself some grace and move on. Okay? But look at chapter 1, verse 4. To give, this is the purpose of the book, to give prudence to the simple. So if you're simple, Thomas Sowell said something that was really profound to me. He's a 90-year-old scholar. He didn't say it to me. He said it, and I heard him say it. He said that a person can be really, really, really sharp, really intelligent in one area and take two steps away and have no clue of what they're talking about. That's why it's so silly for us to look to celebrities and athletes to tell us about moral issues or anything else. I'm that way. There are things I know stuff about. There's other stuff. I have no idea. When Josh came to work on the system Josh, you here this morning? He's downstairs. He can hear me. As he worked on, you know, the camera system and the computer system and everything, I went downstairs like, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea what's going on, but can I help you? Yeah, you could go upstairs and turn on your flashlight and just stare at the wall and then tell me when the wire comes up. I can do that, but I'm not going to go down there and start telling him how to connect it, right? My video has ended. That is not a good thing. There are people watching this. What did I do? I hope it wasn't because of what Josh did yesterday. Okay, I'm sorry. Give me a moment. Just because there are people that couldn't be here today, I know they want to watch this. Yeah, it's acting weird. Okay, we're back. If you're watching the Facebook Live, welcome back. Okay, all of us are naive in some places, in some ways. There are things we simply don't understand. The younger you are, probably the more naive you are, but not necessarily. So this is for all of us in areas that we are naive, to give prudence. Verse 4, to youth, kids, you should be reading Proverbs every day. If you can read, you should read Proverbs every single day. When Molly and Emily, our daughters, I've shared this with you, I'm not bragging, I've done a lot of bad things as a dad, a lot of wrong things, I didn't do everything perfectly. However, one thing we did do is we instilled in them the discipline of reading their Proverbs every day. And then I was able to, after a few years, read the first part of a proverb and they could finish it. Not that they could do all 31 chapters from memory, but they knew the Proverbs well enough where they could finish your sentence. Okay? That's a good thing. We need to, youth, teach our kids. Parents, I'd say one of the best things you can do for your kids is make sure they read Proverbs every day. Food for thought. A wise man will hear. So you've been around a while. You've read your Bible several times. You've got some wisdom. You're still naive in other areas. But a wise man will hear and even increase in learning. As long as we are living on this earth, we will never understand it all. We will never have the entire jigsaw puzzle put together. We're always adding to it, adding to our wisdom, adding to our learning. And Proverbs will help you do that. A man of understanding, 5b, a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. When you're reading Proverbs in the morning, you may say, oh, this one doesn't make any sense. Move on. Meditate on it. If the Holy Spirit's using it, it's like, okay, oh yeah, that might help me in my 9 o'clock appointment. That might help me at Thanksgiving when the family comes home. Whatever it is, you'll see some stuff and the Holy Spirit will impress upon you how important this is going to be for you to process through and meditate on so that you can respond rightly in the next situation. There'll be other ones you won't understand. Just be patient. God will show you that when you need it. There'll be some things that's like, I get that one. It's not important for me today, but it's good for me to know because I'll pull it out when I need it. But it will give even a wise person will hear it and then increase in learning. And a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Okay, keep my mouth shut. In this situation, I think I need to speak up. The Proverbs will direct you. So it's for everyone. Okay, back to chapter 8, verse 5. O naive ones, here's the first commandment. Discern prudence. Understand prudence. And, O fools, discern wisdom. So wisdom is not only calling, wisdom is commanding. Wisdom, in the book of Proverbs, you're going to read command after command. In chapter 8, you'll see how many commands. You should go through and underline every single commandment in the chapter. So I'm giving you these things early, and then as we read through the whole chapter, these will recur, okay? So now look at verse 6. Listen, that's a commandment. For, this is why you ought to listen, I shall speak noble things or excellent things. I'm not going to give you twaddle. I'm not going to give you idle chatter. I can't think of anything in Proverbs that isn't profitable and useful, that doesn't help. There's just not empty words. Okay? So I've called this, that wisdom is commending. Wisdom commends herself to us and promises a reward. Verse 6, listen, for I shall speak of excellent things. What I say is valuable. What I say you need to hear. That's the promise. That's the reward. She's commending herself. End of verse 5. And, O fools, discern wisdom. Have a heart of understanding. Verse 6. Listen, I shall speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will produce right things. For my mouth will utter truth. It is true. It is reliable. Now, what is she insinuating about other sources of information? My mouth will utter something that you can depend on. Something that is true. Obviously, there are sources of information that are not true. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Verse 7. For my mouth, do you see how she's commending herself? My mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So wicked things are not going to come out of my lips. Like we studied last week in the church in Ephesus, Paul said savage wolves will come in from the outside speaking perverse things to lead people after themselves. So people will come into church and they'll be saying things that are distorted. So we just have to measure it up with what we find in the book of Proverbs and in the Bible. Okay, verse 8, all the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing crooked. There's nothing perverted in them. There's no deceit. I have no ulterior motives. I have no hidden agenda. What's God's agenda for the book of Proverbs? Real simple. What's the simplest way we could say it? His agenda is that you see things, that I see things from his perspective. Period. If I see things from God's perspective, and then I do it, everything falls into place. Everything is good. Everything is happy. Okay? Now let's talk about things that aren't true, that we're hearing in our culture. Versus Satan's lies. Versus veiled, dark, hidden agendas. Listen, brothers and sisters, as Christians, we need to be able to discern, and Proverbs will help you do this, be able to discern the truth from Satan's lies. And as you move through it, you will become more familiar with Satan's tactics. Satan is in chapter 9. Satan's in chapter 7. He's the tempter. In chapter 9, wisdom calls out. You have to read chapter, well, you would have read it Tuesday. Chapter 9, wisdom calls out. Then folly calls out. The woman folly is calling out at the same time. And so we've got to become familiar with his tactics. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And yet, what he says doesn't measure up with the truth. I don't want to get political, because there are people on both sides of the political aisle, I believe, that are corrupt, that serve themselves. I'm thinking of the passage in Colossians that says that their end is destruction. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. That's where they're headed. So it may look like they're successful for a period of time, but they won't be for long. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. In other words, money is driving them. They're doing their decision-making based upon how they will benefit themselves, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. They boast about things they ought to be ashamed of, okay? Who set their minds on earthly things. They do not operate from the wisdom of God. And you've got to be able to discern that. We've got to be able to listen to a politician. We've got to listen to an elected officer. And we have got to be able to discern what is true and what is false. And if they're saying something that is false, they're lying. And if they're lying about one thing, why would you believe them about another thing? So this is where Christians, we must be discerning. I know of Christian brothers and sisters who may lose their jobs because they're trying to stay faithful to their conscience and they're being told by government officials that certain, you know what I'm talking about, certain things have to happen, or they're going to lose their jobs and their livelihood. Now, if what the government is saying is true, and we're all old enough and smart enough to do a little research on our own, if what they're saying is absolutely true, and this is the bubonic plague, and there's just dead people all over the, we're all dying, and if I don't do a certain thing, you're going to die. If that's true, then maybe they have the right to say you have to do this or that. If that's not true, and I don't think that's true, I don't think there's any evidence as you look around yourselves. The science is conflicting. The science is competing. There are, I think, legitimately people can come up with different conclusions, as we would right in this room. People will come up with different conclusions. And I just think the science is ambiguous enough to allow freedom to, for all of us to make those decisions. But here's my point. There are people who are being faced with some very hard decisions, and you might be one of them. And you need God's wisdom to make the right decision. So you need this. You need to be prayerful and humble and open and meditative upon it and then obedient to what God says to you. And I may come back to that in a little bit. I'm just trying to point out that just one blatant example. If a politician, whoever it is, whatever side of the aisle, I can't be so locked into my party or what my parents voted for or this. I believe, Christian, I got to put all that aside. And I've got to say, okay, what's the truth? And who is going to do their job and do what the Constitution says they're supposed to do? And then if they're overreaching that or whatever, or they're telling me something that violates my constitutional rights or whatever, I've got to stand before God with a clear conscience, as all of you are trying to do, and I got to say, I have to do this as I stand before God, and then how can I do that so that the consequences are least painful or whatever, but I might have to pay some painful consequences. If you want to talk more about that, we can spend time doing it, but it just appalls me to look at a TV screen, and I don't watch a lot of it, but I'm at the fitness center, and there it is, and a politician looks in the camera and says, for instance, I'll just say one thing because I heard it. It's for the children. It's for the children. It's for the children. It's for the children. And I'm saying, yeah, but your policies murder children. What about those children? And I've heard enough about what you're talking about to know it's not for the children at all. You have ulterior motives. It's in the darkness. It's not true. It's not what she's saying is not true. What he's saying is not true. And don't we have to grow up enough to be able to discern? Isn't this what wisdom is saying? Discern. Prudence. Do a little research. Check it out for yourself. Don't be so locked into a party or whatever that you would say, my mind is made up. Do not confuse me with the facts. Please, as Christians, we're going to be asked to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need the wisdom of God to tell us how to put the pieces in. I better get off of that. Let's keep going here. Wisdom is commending herself. Look at verse 10. Take my instruction and not silver. What I've got's better than that. Knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom is better than jewels. And all desirable things, all temporary things, cannot compare with the wisdom of God. She's talking about valuable, truly valuable wealth, treasures that can be stored up in heaven. Okay, so wisdom is commending herself. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. Now she's separating them out. Watch this one. Please watch this one. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. God is holy. God cannot coexist with sin, with evil. That's why my sins had to be forgiven before I could have fellowship with the Father through Jesus. I needed forgiveness of my sins. That's the barrier. And so the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Several times in Proverbs we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So think about your jigsaw puzzle for just a moment. The problems, we run into problems when we have our jigsaw puzzle in front of us, and the main part we're concerned about is the sky over here that has me in the center of it. You know, it's not in the center, but off here I have myself in the center, and that's when I'm shoving the pieces in and clipping them and stuff and trying to make everything fit, and it's a big mess. Okay, listen carefully. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It means that's the first part. So listen carefully. Go to the center of the puzzle and start there. That is what the Bible reveals to us. Who is God? God is at the center of the puzzle. You've heard me say this. The cross is at the center of the puzzle. You've got to get that first. You have to fear the Lord. You have to put Him in His proper place in relation to you. You have to treat Him rightly, just appropriately. Yes, with fear. Yes, as the one who, to whom I will give account. Yes, to the one who knows where all the pieces fit and can impart that wisdom to me. If you don't get the center part of the puzzle, to get that together. That's why I read your Bible every day. God will be revealed to you. Then, from that, get that straight first. Then, begin to branch out. And then the pieces will make sense. And then pray to God, how do I put this, where does this piece go? So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil like light and darkness. They don't go together. Pride and arrogance and the evil way, the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I, watch this, verse 14. I am understanding. Power is mine. The only way I'm going to have the power to be effective for God, to be useful for God, to be fruitful in God's kingdom is through understanding. 15. Oh, here we could go again. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. That's the ideal world. That's the way it's supposed to be. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. That's the ideal world. When I was reading Romans 13 this week for the first time, the Holy Spirit really, I think, kind of began to open my eyes and see that, oh, but there are times when, and I don't have time, I already kind of went that direction, so I can't go again. But there are times for civil disobedience. There are times when you say, no, I can't do that. That would violate my conscience before God. And so, ideal world, though, the government functions according to God's wisdom. That's the ideal. And I think our country started that. We haven't been perfect, but it's a good country with a good constitution. And many of these veterans here put their lives on the line so that you and me could even be enjoying it. And so God decreed, I believe, those basic principles that are consistent with His word. And therefore, that's what I'm protected by and that's what I'm bound to. Enough on that. Verse 17, I love those who love me. Those who diligently seek me will find me. Here's the responsibility to seek them. The pattern that we see here is wisdom calls. That demands a response. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is if she's out in the middle of the street calling, I need to go out in the middle of the street and listen. So I have the responsibility to pursue and seek. And then she goes into commending how good it is. Now, go to verse 22. Now, here's a little break in it. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. Now, it goes on through verse 31, and I'm just going to capsulize what is said there in this way. Was wisdom created? She makes this is poetry. This will help you fish in the future. This is poetry. Wisdom is the word Sophia, but wisdom is not feminine. It's not a girl. This is poetry. Wisdom is personified as a woman to teach us what God is like. Okay? And so wisdom was not created. It wasn't like God went X number of bazillion years without wisdom, then he created wisdom because he realized he wasn't very smart. This is God revealing himself. But in order for us human beings to understand it, he personifies wisdom as a woman, and folly as a woman, and sin as a woman. Okay, but again, remember, oh, this is poetry. Now, as you read through that stuff, the main point made in those verses is that wisdom is older than the hills. Wisdom is older than man. Wisdom is older than creation. Wisdom will not change. So that's a warning to us today who are hearing voices that say that this new enlightened idea that we have, because evolution has gone so far that now, listen, I think this is true, so I'm going to say it. The satanic narrative of the world, it's always been this way, and it is now. That satanic narrative is seeking immortality in some place other than God. That's at the heart of it. And we need to learn how to discern a weight as we connect the dots and put those, what are they saying there? We put those pieces of the puzzle together. We've got to be able to discern that that is absolutely anti-God. What this is saying is wisdom is older than that. It isn't that we've all of a sudden evolved. And this is what they're saying. We've evolved to a place where, and you don't have to listen to this. This says horse, and this looks like a horse, and horse fits where horse goes. That's old stuff. That's old-fashioned way. Now, we have evolved to a place, we've been enlightened now, to where we're accepting in our culture stuff that 100 years ago would have made people just, it would have shocked them. No, a boy is a boy. It just is. Okay, put that piece right there. That's just a boy. A girl is a girl. They put that piece there. Boys and girls get married. You put that, this is marriage. Put that there. That's what it looks like. It's always been that way. And then they have sometimes children. And as soon as that child is conceived, it's a, put this one here. That's a live human being. Okay? All of the enlightenment is not going to ever change any of that. That's what these verses mean. God's wisdom was there first, and it's never going to change. Okay? So I think that's helpful. Now, I don't think it's right to say, because I don't think Solomon or whoever wrote all of these and put them together and compiled them thought he was writing about Jesus. But is Jesus in this? Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I came to what? Fulfill. This is fulfilled in Jesus, for sure. And sometimes the wording is such, look at verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way before his works of old. That sounds like John 1:1 to me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created through him. Everything that was created through him. So some portions of the Old Testament are so clearly fulfilled in Jesus in a way that we can really understand. And this is one of them. And then other verses can be thoughtfully connected to Jesus. When you're reading Proverbs, you ought to be saying to yourself regularly, how is that fulfilled in Jesus? Read the Psalms. How was that fulfilled in Jesus? Okay? So as we turn now, let's look at, fine, I'll go through these very quickly. Three realities of Christ. Christ fulfilled the book of Proverbs. And so, as you're turning to Matthew chapter 11, we'll do this, this won't take long. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 11, I want to read to you quickly from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, where Paul says, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So where do we find wisdom today? Verse 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, Christian, who became to us wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. From Colossians, I'll read three little passages from Colossians very quickly. Please listen carefully. We're almost done. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, Paul wrote to the Colossians, we have not ceased to pray for you. What did Paul pray for them? And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects. If you walk in a manner that isn't worthy of the Lord, that does not follow his wisdom, and you put the piece where you want it to fit, are you going to please him in all respects? Are you going to bear fruit in every good work? Are you going to increase in the knowledge of God? No. So he said, Christ is that. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 11. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Does that mean he was created? No. It just means he was elevated to the status of firstborn. Okay. So firstborn of all creation. For in him, how do I know that? That's true. In him, all things were created in Jesus. In the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things have been created by Jesus and for Jesus, and Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ, in whom, listen, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So where do we go today, Christians, to find wisdom? Jesus, of course. So let's look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Real quick, this will be real short. Jesus says, come to me. What's he doing? Jesus is calling. Christ is calling. He's calling you right now. My theology is, I think of Revelation 3:20, he's always calling. I stand at the door and knock. I'm always standing at the door and I'm always knocking. If I'm outside of the dining room, I'm knocking. Christ is calling. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Christ is commanding. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. These are commandments. If you obey them, you're the one who loves me, and I'll show myself to you. You'll learn more. I'll tell you where to put that piece. And Christ is commending. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I commend myself. I will give you rest. Do you think you're going to find rest if you keep going through your life trying to jam pieces of a puzzle in the place they don't belong? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I commend myself. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Now, I hope you didn't move your finger from Proverbs 8. Go back there real quick. Sorry if I messed it up. Otherwise, listen to me. Verse 32. We'll just read to the end. Sorry. You getting there? Okay. Now therefore, O sons, here's why I entitled it this way. Listen to me. That's a commandment. For blessed or happy, blessings upon the one who keeps my ways. So listening means you do it. You didn't listen if you don't do it. So obedience is connected to God's disclosure of himself to us. Verse 33, heed instruction, do it, and be wise, and don't neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. When I was a kid, let me share a quick story with you. I lived down toward the fairgrounds, and you remember my friend Verl, I've shared with you, the one who led me to Christ, lifelong friend. He lived across the street, and I lived there till I was 5, so I was under 5 years old. I was about 4 years old or so. And I'd wake up in the morning and come out into the kitchen and pour my pre-sweetened cereal into the bowl, which explains some stuff. And then my mom would say, Verl's waiting for you. And so I'd go over to the door, half asleep, and pull the chair up to the door and stand up and look out the window of the door. And he would be sitting on the top step with his, you know, his chin on his wrist, just waiting for me. That's the picture that we have right here. Now, I would look, you know, he's there, he'll be there in 10 minutes. So I'd go back and finish my cereal and eventually go outside. I have no idea why he would. I must have, I don't know. I can't imagine I gave him anything that beneficial to make him. But look at this. Verse 34, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily. Is this your life? Do you watch daily at wisdom's door? Do you care that much about how to put the pieces in the puzzle? Is it that important to you? Do you think it's that important? Do you think it's that valuable? That critical? That determinative about your own happiness and pleasing God? Waiting at my doorsteps, doorposts. For, now he has something of value. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Doesn't that say that if I choose to keep going my own way and putting my puzzle together, so it looks okay, I'll put some duct tape here and make it fix it a little bit, that I'm going to receive favor from the Lord? But he who misses me, literally, injures himself. All those who hate me love death. So let's go to prayer now for a few minutes. I want you to be impressed by the importance of godly wisdom, how letting him help us put the puzzle together is going to bring us blessing, happiness, fulfillment, living in a manner worthy of the gospel as we make these difficult decisions. I think God wants us to kind of break out of our stereotypical boxes that maybe we're in, maybe not, but that may blind us, maybe pridefully. We just don't want to admit that there's some people in my political party who are lying, who are corrupt. And I'm speaking of both sides. They're listening to who gives them money. Both sides of the aisle. But I think there are some good people there. But as I choose news sources, as I listen to sources of information, am I first going here so that when I hear that, I have something to funnel it through? And when I get a new piece of the puzzle, I have someone to give me direction and guidance. So please bow your heads. What's your attitude toward the book of Proverbs? Oh, and look up just one last time. Sorry. Okay, let's pray. In a